All right, good evening. Welcome to our Wednesday night prayer service, and I trust that this finds you in a wonderful week and that you have also acknowledged God's goodness in your life. God has been so good, even through difficult times, God is good. And so I trust that this finds you well, and looking forward to what God is going to do through our prayer service this evening. Let's go ahead and sing a song. Maybe you don't have a hymnal at home, but I trust that you can follow along as I go through the words. 284 is the song, Some Golden Daybreak. And so you follow along with me as I read these words. 284, Some Golden Daybreak. Some glorious morning, sorrow will cease. Some glorious morning, all will be peace. Heartaches all ended. School days all done. Heaven will open. Jesus will come. Sad hearts will gladden and all shall be bright. Goodbye forever to earth's dark night. Changed in a moment, like him to be. O glorious daybreak, Jesus I'll see. O what a meeting there in the skies. No tears, no crying shall dim our eyes. Loved ones united eternally. Oh, what a daybreak that morn will be. Some golden daybreak, Jesus will come. Some golden daybreak, battles all won. He'll shout the victory, break through the blue. Some golden daybreak for me, for you. Good song. Let's go ahead and bow our heads for a word of prayer as we ask God to be with our service tonight and that he would hasten that glorious day when we can be with him. Father, I thank you so much for this song that we can sing and look forward to your son's return. Lord, we look forward to that. Lord, come quickly, come quickly. But until then, help us to do the work that you've called us to do here on this earth, and that we would please you and glorify your name in all that we say and all that we do. Lord, I pray for tonight's service that you would bless in a great and mighty way, and I pray that it would be a blessing to all who are able to be with us. God, I pray that you'd give me the words. I pray that our prayer would be powerful and that we would learn some more things about prayer. Lord, may it be an encouragement to each and every one that's joining us tonight. God, give us a good evening for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, let's go ahead and look at another song, 529. 529 is the song, There Shall Be Showers of Blessing. Here in the springtime, we've been getting a lot of showers recently, and we can be reminded when those rain showers fall that for each one of those drops of rain showers, God's blessing to each one of us is the same. And so let's be expecting and thankful for God's showers of blessing. 529, there shall be showers of blessing. There shall be showers of blessing. This is the promise of love. There shall be seasons refreshing sent from the Savior above. There shall be showers of blessing, precious, reviving again, over the hills and the valleys, sound of abundance of rain. Verse 3, there shall be showers of blessing, send them upon us, O Lord. Grant to us now a refreshing, come and now honor thy word. There shall be showers of blessing, O that today they might fall. Now as to God we're confessing, now as on Jesus we call, showers of blessing we need. Mercy drops round us are falling, but for the showers we plead. Pleading for God's showers. All right, we put our hymnal aside, and let's go ahead and take our Bibles, and let's look at a few encouraging words here from God's Word here. In the next few moments, we're actually going to be starting in the book of Job. In the book of Job, and we're just going to look at a couple of verses there, and we're going to go to a couple different spots besides that. We have been talking about prayer, been going through a small book by Charles Haddon Spurgeon, and here is the book, The Power in Prayer. Just a small book that is teaching us to pray, based out of Luke chapter 11, when the disciples came to Jesus and said, Lord, teach us to pray. And so we, along with the disciples, are learning how to pray. Prayer is such a huge aspect in life. And if we can get prayer, then we have a lot going for us in our lives. So we're looking at the topic of prayer, and we have made our way to the chapter of order and arguments. Order and arguments. And last week we looked at the order of prayer, and this week we're going to look at the arguments in prayer. And so I hope that this will be a blessing to you. Filling the mouth with arguments. Now, typically, we look at arguments as a negative thing, an argument. We teach our children, don't argue. We teach people, Christians, we're not supposed to argue with other people. And here, we're going to learn tonight that we ought to argue with the Lord. Now, some of you already are scratching your head saying, oh, what is this preacher going to preach to us tonight about arguing with the Lord? Well, let me tell you that we're not talking about filling our prayer with a bunch of words. We're not talking about filling our prayer with a bunch of phrases or expressions. We're not talking even about arguments for the Lord to take or for God to take so that He can reconsider or He can do something different. No, my friend, the arguments that we're talking about tonight are arguments for our own benefit. As we pray before the Lord and petition to Him to go through certain reasons why God should answer, it's not going to be so that God will do it, but that we will see why we are going to the Lord for these prayers and also to encourage us in our prayer that we can count on what we are praying. Of course, God instructs us as we go to Him in prayer that we pray in His name, or in some cases, say in the scriptures, according to His will. These two phrases have everything to do with praying the same kind of prayers that God would pray. What would God want? Those are the things that we ask Him for. Praying with arguments in our mouths is really the same idea. It's helping us to see why it's so important and why we pray, so that we can expect God to do great and mighty things. And so our mouths ought to be full with arguments. I know you're still wondering what I mean by that or what in Spurgeon means, but let's look at some scriptures to help us understand. Go to Job chapter 23, Job chapter 23, and let's look at the first 7 verses. Job chapter 23, and we're going to look at the first 7 verses. And so you go to your Bibles in the Old Testament, Esther, Job, Psalms, Proverbs. If you know about where that is in your Bible, that can help you. We're in Job chapter 23, and we're going to look at the first 7 verses. Only 17 verses in the chapter, but here we have Job. Remember Job? The situation with Job, a wealthy man, and the beginning of Bible times. And yet, in that time, the devil wanted to tempt Job, and so God said, go ahead, as long as you don't touch his body, or at least touch his life. And so the devil goes ahead and he tempts Job with a number of issues that take place, and he loses so much in his life. And we have Job, going through, of course, he's got these three very encouraging friends that come by, not really, but they come by and give him all kinds of advice. Well, Job is responding to one of those friends right now. But let's go ahead and look at the scriptures, Job chapter 23, and we're not going to get into the context of Job 23, but I just want you to see some things that Job brings to the Lord. Look at the verse 7 verses. Then Job answered and said, even today is my complaint bitter. My stroke is heavier than my groaning. Oh, that I knew where I might find him, that I might come even to his seat. I would order my cause before him and fill my mouth with arguments. I would know the words which he would answer me and understand what he would say unto me. Will he plead against me with his great power? No, but he would put strength in me. There the righteous might dispute with him. So should I be delivered forever from my judge. And he continues on. But here we have Job coming, and you notice that Job he's very desperate. He's in a desperate situation with some desperate situations with his friends. And here he's responding to one of those friends, and he pleads out, "I would order my cause." And even look at verse 3. "Oh, that I knew where I might find him." He's talking about his God. He so longs to go to his God and find God and talk to God and understand the things that God is doing. And so Job trying to find God, and then in verse 4, "I would order my cause before him." That's what we looked at last week. He wants to have the right order in his cause. And then, as we look at tonight, "I will fill my mouth with arguments." Filling his mouth with arguments. Reasons. Remember, this is not so much for the Lord. "God, I'm going to argue with you." No, it's for me. It's for us. All right, I want to look at the arguments through attributes. I think you're going to catch on to a few things here in just a few moments of where we're going at with these arguments. But arguments through attributes. Let's look at Genesis chapter 18. And I want us to see how Abraham is praying before the Lord. You remember the situation when God has said that he was going to destroy Sodom, and so therefore Abraham knows that he has relatives in Sodom, and so he's going to go before the Lord and plead the cause so that the Lord will not destroy Sodom. That is the story and the context in which we're in Genesis chapter 18. All right, so Abraham is just getting ready to pray for this. Notice how he starts in verses 24 and 25. He says in verse 24, "Peradventure, there be 50 righteous within the city. Wilt thou also destroy and not spare the place for the 50 righteous that are therein? That be far from thee to do after this manner, to slay the righteous with the wicked, and that the righteous should be as the wicked. That be far from thee. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right?" Do you catch what Abraham is saying here? Okay, so he's pleading, and he starts off, and you understand this, 50 and 40 and 30 and 20, and you understand that. And actually, as he goes down, excuse me, by 5, but he goes, however he does it, but he goes down, and he makes his way all the way to 10. He starts off with the 50, but did you notice as he pleads before the Lord, he's saying, "God, would you please," there's his prayer, "would you please spare this city?" And notice what the technique he uses in verse 25. He says, "Of course, God, be it far from thee to do this, to slay the righteous with the wicked, and the righteous should be as the wicked." He says, "Shall not the judge of all the earth do right?" What is he doing? It's almost like he's reminding God of his righteousness and his justice. Very interesting what he is doing here with the Lord in his prayer. So Abraham here argues God's attributes. He starts in these two verses with God's justice. "God, is it right to do this? Is it right? God, this, you're a just God. God, you wouldn't do that." And so he goes and he starts off by pleading with God's justice. You know, folks, I want to tell you something. God is a just God, and we ought to plead God for his justice. God, your justice says this. Now, God is just, folks, and he will always be just. I say, as Spurgeon says, this is a fair reason to go before the Lord. God, you're just. You are right. You are righteous. You are fair. God, would you please be who you said you would be and who you said you are? And of course, God goes ahead and he says, "Okay, I'll do this for 40, for 50 and for 45. And notice the progression all the way down. He starts with justice. Notice at verse 32. So he makes his way, and then we're down to verse 32, and he said, "Oh, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak yet but this once." So he's all the way down, and he gets to the 10. "Peradventure 10 shall be found there." Then he said, I will not destroy it for 10's sake. All right, so here we have 50 and 45 and 40 and 30 and 20 and then now 10. Now, the word is not used here, but as you catch him here, I would see Abraham's thoughts. Peradventure, 10. Honestly, I think where we're at here with Abraham is he goes from justice, now it's mercy. God, in your mercy. But isn't it true, folks, that God is a God of mercy? Indeed. God is a God of mercy. And here, I think Abraham understands that. He said, God for righteous sake. God for justice sake. God now for mercy's sake. God is a God of mercy. And God is a God that still is merciful. And God upholds his mercy. And folks, God will always be merciful. You know, I think here Spurgeon is encouraging us to plead God's attributes. Argue God's attributes, not to argue in the way and we see, think, but to remind God, even though he doesn't need to remember, but say, God, you're a God of justice. And folks, God will always be just. And so we can count on that justice. God, you're a God of righteousness, and God is going to always be righteous. God, you're a God of mercy. God, will you be merciful in this case? Be merciful to me. Folks, God is always going to be merciful to you. Mercy. Faithfulness. Can you plead God's faithfulness? God, would you be faithful here? Would you do as you've always done? We can. We can go before the throne of grace with justice, mercy, faithfulness, wisdom, long-suffering, etc., etc., etc. I think that we can argue God's attributes as we go to him in prayer. Folks, if the issue in which you're praying has to do with who God said he is, you can count on that for sure. God will be who he is. Always. Isn't that a blessing? Isn't that encouraging? Maybe you're searching for wisdom. God said he would give it. Folks, let's plead that. God, you said in the book of, where are we looking at? In James. God, you said that you would do this. You would be all that you said you would be. And you would give wisdom. That's what I'm looking for. You would give wisdom. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, which giveth to all men liberally. Folks, that's who God is. And so let's plead it. We can trust him for that. So if God is, then he is. And we can plead it. So we can argue with God from his perspective and who he is. I want you to look at a second thing, though. Arguments through promises. Arguments through promises. You remember back with Jacob in chapter 32. Of course, we have Jacob and Esau. And Esau is looking for revenge. Jacob flees. And we have a long story. God tells Jacob in chapter 22 that he is going to bless him and he is going to protect him. He is going to multiply his seed. He is going to do so much for Jacob. Jacob takes that promise and then he gets there right before he's about to meet Esau. And you remember that dreadful night in which Jacob is struggling and he wrestles with God. Well, it's to that point that I want to bring you to. Genesis chapter 32, and I want you just to look at verse 12, and notice what Jacob says in this verse. And these first three words are the powerful. And thou saidst, I will surely do thee good, and make thy seed as the sand of the sea, which cannot be numbered for multitude. Folks, did you catch that? Jacob is saying, God, you said that you would. Again, back in Genesis 22, that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of heaven, and as the sand which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. So first, God, this is who you are, Abraham says, and Job says. And second, Now, God, you said this already to me. You told me this. God, you promised this. You know, it's also true of David in 2 Samuel chapter 7 and verse 25. When David is been confronted by Nathan the prophet, and now David is speaking, and now, O Lord God, the word that thou hast spoken concerning thy servant and concerning his house, establish it forever and do as thou hast said. Wow, God had said. You know that God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? Do you see the truth there, folks? Romans 3 and verse 4, God forbid, yea, let God be true, but every man a liar, as it is written, that thou mightest be justified in thy sayings, and mightest overcome when thou art judged. See, folks, what God has said, he will do, and we can hold him to his word. Folks, this is not a challenge to God. This is a reminder to me. Wait a second, Sean. God, you are this. This is your attribute. I can pray this. Second of all, God, you said this. And I can trust your word, and I can pray this, and I can have confidence that you are going to be who you are and do what you have said. Joshua 21:45, there failed not aught of any good thing which the Lord had spoken unto the house of Israel. All came to pass. I don't know if you're following this, folks, but this is encouraging. This is encouraging information about prayer with God. Spurgeon says on page 80 of his book, The Power in Prayer, my friend, if you have a divine promise, you need not plead it with an if in it. You may plead with a certainty if, for the mercy that you are now asking, you have God's solemnly pledged word, there will scarcely be any room for caution about submission to his will. You know his will. That will is in the promise. Plead it. Do not give him rest until he fulfills it. He meant to fulfill it, or else he would not have given it. If God said it, then he means it. If God is, then he is. If God said it, then he means it. Folks, and these are just two arguments. We're going to look at more arguments next week. There's a number of things that we can argue with. Now, I think you understand a little bit more when I say we're going to look at arguments. Our mouths need to be filled with arguments. No, it's not arguing with God, but it's, as I think you can understand, it's arguing God and who he is and what he said. And brothers and sisters, who God is and what he said are true. And we can take those to the throne of grace, and we can stand on those things because he is and he has spoken. I trust that this will be an encouragement to you as it has me as well. We're learning about prayer. Lord, teach us to pray. Let's fill our mouths with arguments. Arguments of who God is and what he has said. Amen and amen. All right, let's look just briefly at our prayer sheets for this evening. Now, I was brought to my attention not from a critic, but just from somebody that said, Pastor, you ought to think through this. And of course, this is going on our website. Is everybody okay for their request to be put out on the World Wide Web? I've not heard anybody have a problem with it, but I do want to be careful. So tonight, I'm just going to direct you to the prayer sheet that hopefully you have received or will soon receive. And so I'm not going to go through and mention the names. I know you say, Pastor, you've already mentioned a lot of them. But for right sake and just for your sake and for safety's sake, for whatever concerns, I'm going to be careful not to mention names, but I just want you to look down through, of course, Let's remember Philippians 1:27, that our conversation is so important for the sake of the gospel, for the faith of the gospel. But I think I can mention praying for our country and the leadership. Please, let's pray that God would bless and that right would win. Just remember all those people as I'm looking down the list, and you can be looking right with me at these things. Just pray that God would bless with each and every one of these health needs. You can see some new needs that have come up, some injuries that are there. Some are doing better. Some are recovering. Some people need encouragement. But let's pray for all of these things that are listed here. Losses of loved ones. Let's pray for these families that God would bless in these things. Procedures coming up here in the future. Let's remember to pray for these. As we go to the back, we have our missionaries to be praying for and their protection and for their provisions, that God would be with them. So, folks, let's remember to pray for the things that we have before us. And I trust that you'll do that. And so I'm going to go ahead and lead in a word of prayer. Again, I'm not going to be specific with these and mention names, but I'm just going to pray in general. You can pray with me. And then, of course, as I close, I hope that you and your family can join with me in prayer for these things. And you can be specific. Like we learned last week, let's be specific. Let's order our prayer and be very specific in what we're asking God to do. And I trust that we can expect God to do some amazing things. And honestly, a lot of things that we're praying for with these people, you know, we don't know for sure that God's going to heal, but we do know that God's a great physician. Let's plead that. And he's going to show himself very strong in the ways that he is and what he said. And so if you could join me in a word of prayer, and let's just bring these things before the Lord. Father, I can't be specific tonight, but you know those needs, and I can be specific in my own home. Lord, and these people can be specific in their own home. Lord, we plead the cause of these things. Lord, we're asking for you to do great and mighty things. Lord, we do pray for our church. Lord, I thank you for the people that are being a blessing and that are reaching out to others and they're part of our church. God, would you be with them and encourage them and help them? Lord, I pray that they wouldn't be discouraged through these times and we can look forward to what we're going to see you do in the coming days. Lord, encourage people. Lord, thank you for our church, and I pray for our church and the people that are in. Pray for our country, Lord, that you would bless our country, and thank you for our president, and I thank you for those people that are leading us and guiding us. God, give them wisdom. Help them to follow the scriptures, Lord, and as they do, we can see you do great and mighty things which we know not. Lord, we do pray for our country, that you would bless and that you would bring us back, restore us, get us healthy again. Provide for the needs, be with the economic situation, that you would help our country to be profitable, and you would just bring us to a place of safety, Lord. God, I pray for our church, I pray for the people, Lord, those that have lost loved ones, God, be with them and the families, Lord, with others that are sick, God, would you please restore them to health. God, others with financial burden and loss of job, would you please provide for them? God, I plead your attributes. God, you're a God that provides. God, you are the provider. Jehovah Jireh, my God will provide. God, would you be it? You said you would. And Lord, I am arguing with you on that element, that point of argument. Lord, you said that you are Jehovah Jireh. And you would provide, you are, and you said it. And you said that you would provide for the needs of your people as we give. You've promised to provide for our needs. And so, Lord, I claim these things and I argue these things, Lord, and I know that you're going to do it because it's who you are and it's who you said. Lord, so I pray that you would provide in that way. Lord, there are others with health needs that need protection. And God, I'm going to do the same thing again. God, you are the great physician. And you are the God that said that you would meet those needs and that you would protect us, Lord, and that you would be a great physician to us. So God, I plead that cause as well. And would you be close to our people? And would you help them through their physical struggles? Lord, yet others have different needs. And God, we have many recovering and many that have things in the future. God, would you help? Lord, there are many people that are represented through the folks tonight that are unsaved, that need the Lord. Well, we know, God, that you are the Savior. Your name is the Savior. And we know that you came to this earth to seek and to save that which was lost. We know it's your desire that all men come to repentance. So, Lord, we pray that. We pray for the people that we know that they could be saved. Lord, I thank you for these powerful tools that we've learned tonight. May we use them to argue with you, Lord, that we could see you fulfill your perfect will in our lives. God, we pray for all the things that are mentioned, our missionaries, Lord, if they are have put their lives out there for your honor and for your glory, and that they are sacrificing for you. God, would you help them, protect them, and be with them in all that they're doing, that your work would go forward all across the world. Thank you for this time of prayer, and I pray that the prayer of a righteous man would avail much this evening, as people all across our country and our world are praying. God, would you do a great and mighty work, which we know not. Lord, thank you for tonight. May it be a blessing to all. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. I hope that that was a blessing to you. May it be an encouragement. We look forward to seeing you soon. And God bless. And remember, God is so good. Let's pray to him.